was tremendous, as always, Everly. And I think it deserves a door prize. And while our door prize folks are drawing, JJ, would you like to come back for your presentation? And then Kevin, would you like to come up and auction maybe one item before we get to our next presentation?
Hello, everyone. Okay, Sailor was supposed to do this, and I blanked. So, where's but Sailor was going to present this, but the Greeley chapter has a basket for Everly Hairston. Yeah, we have a awesome basket for our national rep. This basket, it's a heavy one, Everly. Got it over here by the podium. It's got homemade jams and jellies from Brenda Tashiro. There's some pineapple, some marmalade, some watermelon. There's all kinds of flavors in there. We also have a necklace. One of our chapter members, JP Trevino, he owns a jewelry store, and he donated a necklace for us to give to Everly. So thank you, Everly, for all of your service and everything you've done.
All right, fantastic. Do we have a door prize name?
Thank you. Okay, we have a door prize. We have $25 cash from the Wild Wild West chapter and some yummy banana bread from the Deafblind Division, made by Dula, and the name is Michael Massey.
He's here. Yeah, we all knew Mike would be here. Good afternoon, fellow Federationists. How's everyone? Now, I have these 36 packages for the auction. It is online. You can go to nfb.org, nfbco.org. And you can get a list of all these fabulous items. We have a few of the lists in Braille over by Amy and Gary. Amy and Gary, where are you? There they are. One of them's Amy and one of them's Gary. I know that she wants me to move this along, so we're going to start. But I did have one story. I'm over here, you know, in tears almost when I'm hearing my best friend Scott talk. And a couple months ago, I called him up and I said, you know, my Wonder Shepherd Onyx, who he loves, has a cornea disease that's not curable. It's going to be under control, but it's not curable. And he said, well, thanks for the call. I have cancer. I'm like, okay, I think the conversation's changed a bit, you know. So all right, we now have sweets for the sweet. This is Cacao Chocolate Factory. They make almost everything in-house. It's, you know, the usual stuff. It's a $200 value. It is absolutely jam-packed with candies that they make. They sell some other candies as well, but they are an amazing, amazing chocolate factory. And they put together for us two of these baskets. This is a huge one. It's a value of $200. I don't have a list of everything that's in it, but I'm going to tell you, since I moved downtown next door, I've gained about 20 pounds. I'm telling you, it's good stuff. So we'll start the bidding at $50 for the Cacao Chemistry Chocolate Factory basket. 50 bucks. Who's going to bid $50? Annadelli, 50 bucks. Who's going to go 60? All right. Thank you, Joe. 70. Aaron, 100. Thank you, Aaron, 100. Who's going to bid against Aaron? 120. 115? 50. 150. I got it. 150. Where are you, Aaron?
It's Jordan.
160 from Aaron. Where are you, Jordan? 170? Anybody want to do 170? It's amazing. 170. Okay, so we're at 160. And that's Aaron Daly, right, Aaron?
Yeah.
Okay, now you don't want to go 170, do you? I always try that. 160 going once. 160 twice. Jordan, you still have a chance. Sold to Aaron the Daily, 160. Thank you very much. We'll be back. We've got packages all weekend long.
All right. And next, it is my pleasure to introduce a colleague, a friend, someone who has been working tremendously for the blind of Colorado, our director of blind and low vision services for DVR, Ms. Krista Hedlund. I got the eye of the tiger, fire, dancing through the fire, 'cause I am the champion, and you're gonna hear me.
Awesome. Thank you for that introduction. Good afternoon, everyone. I hope you're enjoying your lunch. It's great to be with you all to kick off this spooky weekend. As always, I appreciate this opportunity to be here and connect with folks and share information about all the work that we're doing here within the Division of Vocational Rehabilitation, and specifically our blind and low vision services programs. As Jess mentioned, my name's Krista Hedlund, and essentially I oversee the blind and low vision services unit, which is made up of about five different programs. Today, I'm going to be sharing with you all some of the achievements and challenges within the BLVS unit, as well as some of the priorities and achievements within the Colorado Department of Labor and Employment. Last year, you heard from my colleague Sherhaven and me about the disproportionate impact the pandemic-related layoffs had on people with disabilities, especially those who are blind or have low vision. Last year, when looking at the employment rate, 4 quarters post-exit of the DVR program, and real quick, let me just share that this is a metric that's looking at job retention, folks who are still working after they've exited the DVR program. Individuals who are blind or visually impaired had significantly lower rates of employment compared to individuals with other disabilities. However, this year I'm pleased to report that we've seen an increase of about 6.2 percentage points. However, we have not returned to pre-pandemic levels. While the average wage of individuals who receive services through the Blind and Low Vision Services Unit decreased from $25.92 per hour to $20.61 per hour, the number of individuals within the BLVS unit who achieved successful employment increased by almost 40%. This trend was unique to BLVS, as DVR saw a much smaller increase in successful employment outcomes and a 5% increase in their average wage at $17.53 per hour. Last year, I had shared that many individuals chose to put their job search and training on hold due to safety concerns and unknowns related to COVID-19, and this resulted in a 9% drop in the number of individuals that we served. This most recent fiscal year, we served a record-breaking 572 individuals within BLVS. This is more than we've ever served since the creation of BLVS. I want to specifically thank the NFB of Colorado, because I believe it's through our collaboration and their community engagement that we're able to get the word out and reach those in need of employment services. Our business enterprise program has experienced a significant amount of change this past year, and we expect to see even more change as we move forward, looking for innovative ways to grow the program. Through challenges like staff turnover, we have managed to continue rebounding from the pandemic and see revenue growing. Specifically, when looking at the revenue collected from January to July of 2021 compared to 2022, revenue has seen a 22.4% increase. We have been fortunate to welcome new team members aboard. Keith Teagarden and Rebecca Watkins bring a wealth of knowledge in the food and business industry, serving as business consultants. Kristen Keene was promoted to the lead business consultant position, and we are close to filling the BEP manager position. With change brings opportunity, an opportunity for new perspectives, new ideas, and new beginnings. We continue to engage in active participation with the Colorado Elected Committee and have made it a priority to address our rules and policies. This important work will lay the foundation for what we hope to be one of the most progressive, innovative, and successful programs in the nation. We recognize the great efforts it will take to achieve this, and we are hopeful that the enthusiasm and commitment from both the SLA and the Colorado Elected Committee will drive this work forward. Remote services within our personal adjustment training program continue to be the preferred modality for many people we serve, and more often than not, complement the in-person PAT training that we conduct. We continue to provide virtual groups for support and training on a regular basis to all BLVS clients. Our personal adjustment training unit has seen a steady increase in the number of individuals served through our hybrid model over the course of the last 3 years. We have sought feedback from the people we serve, our staff, and our stakeholders in changing our PAT center service delivery to that of a hybrid intensive workshop model. In August, we piloted this model, and it proved to be a success based on the feedback from those we serve as well as our staff. Additionally, we are in the process of updating our assistive technology lab in order to keep up with current technology. This updated lab will help us to provide more training workshops in the future. We'll continue to perfect this model based on the feedback we receive in the coming year. During the summer of 2022, the PAT unit's pre-employment transition specialists offered several workshops for pre-employment transition students. These workshops included discussion, activities, and guest speakers from the Colorado community. The topics included career exploration, adaptive recreation, daily living skills, transportation methods, and financial literacy. It remains challenging to recruit youth during the summer months as many are looking for a break from school. While PAT training services for pre-et students remains regional with PAT staff throughout the state, we are in the process of developing a more effective plan for providing summer pre-ets workshops and learning experiences. The Older Individuals Who Are Blind program has continued to provide quality and caring services to individuals statewide who are age 55 and older, are blind or visually impaired, and whose primary goal is to regain or maintain independence in their own home. Virtual services have become a more popular option that began during the pandemic and remain an option due to client preference. This is especially helpful to those with barriers to accessing reliable transportation services. OIB Technical Assistance Center hosted a conference here in the Denver metro area this past May. Our staff were able to take advantage of this opportunity to share practices, resources, technical advancements, and insights that will help improve services here in Colorado as well as throughout the U.S. We have appreciated the continued collaboration among the 7 sub-recipients throughout the state. As we wrap up this current contract year, we will be seeking applications for the next contract cycle this spring. If your organization or one that you know of is interested in providing OIB services, please do reach out to me and I will be more than happy to get you in contact with our procurement team. The Howard Fund provides grants to individuals and organizations in Colorado to help them acquire equipment and services directly related to blindness and vision impairment. This past year, the board approved 13 grants. Those grants included the purchase of assistive technology, low vision aids, adaptive equipment, training, and conference registration. We welcomed a new board member, Ellen Kern. However, she has recently stepped down from her position, so we are seeking applications for her at-large position. Again, if anyone's interested, please feel free to reach out to me, as well as Curtis Chong or Jessica Beecham, who also serve on the board. We'd be more than happy to help you get an application through. The Colorado Department of Labor and Employment and DVR continue to seek ways to improve services to those with disabilities. Through our collaborative efforts, CDLE has introduced the Disability Navigator Program. The goals of the program are the following: to establish no wrong door for people with disabilities to receive needed employment services through the workforce development system, to increase co-enrollment for people with disabilities with workforce centers and DVR, to allow for better access to workforce programs for people with disabilities, to increase employment opportunities for people with disabilities, align services through workforce partners, and to create more effective and efficient government services. Disability program navigators are located in most Colorado workforce centers, and they help people with disabilities navigate programs to access all disability-related workforce services. CDLE's Division of Unemployment Insurance also proved to be a champion of collaboration and excellence as they hired three BLVS consumers and worked collaboratively with DVR to find ways to support their success in their positions. CDLE also became the first agency within Colorado to implement a disability hiring preference, which gives job applicants a preference in the hiring process similar to the one provided by the veterans preference currently in place. This pilot program, which began March 1st of this year, helps advance CDLE's mission to become a model employer. By integrating equity, diversity, and inclusion into the hiring processes, we will benefit from the many skills and perspectives people with disabilities bring to the workplace. Created through legislation, the pilot program will provide individuals with disabilities who meet the minimum qualifications an additional 5 points added to their comparative analysis score during the selection process. Should this pilot program be successful, it will be adopted by other state agencies. I'd like to thank you all for this opportunity to speak with you today. And I did just want to really quickly share that we will have some of our staff from our BLVS unit that will be presenting at a breakout session. So if anyone is interested in learning more about some of the programs we have to offer, I encourage you to attend and learn more about employment and independent living supports. Thank you all.
I want to recognize Curtis Chong for a question. And you can go ahead and come on up here if you want, actually, Curtis, because you'll be introducing the next presenter. Right here. Yeah. All right. You can slip through there.
You can come through.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for this opportunity to raise a question, Krista. Let me first of all say this about Krista Hedlund, the head of the Blind and Low Vision Services Unit. She's a very forthright, articulate, and positive person when it comes to understanding where we are and what we as people who are blind need to get a more successful employment outcome. But Krista, you are in the unfortunate position of being the higher up in charge who sometimes may not quite understand everything that goes on within the organization. Maybe, I don't know. And I don't think you do this on purpose, but let me just, we have a resolution at this convention which we will be considering, if I could have your attention. I know, we're all full now, so we want to take a nap. So, when I say Krista is very forthright and constructive and positive, earlier this fall, I wrote to Krista and I asked her, you have this document, it's called a training justification form, and some people are getting the idea that this document is a requirement for everybody to fill out without help from anyone. And she wrote back and said, no, that is in fact not the case. That in fact, the level of help that a person requires or that the level of help that a counselor provide is supposed to be very individualistic. Some people need a lot of help to fill this form out, and some people don't need any help at all. Now, how many of you guys are DVR clients right now? Say aye. All right. Now, how many of you have heard about the training justification document? Say aye. How many of you felt comfortable that if you needed some help to gather the information, or if you needed your counselor to clarify a question, that you could go to your counselor and ask for help. Say aye. One person. This is unfortunate. This is more of a reality check, you know, like the guy does on CNN. The goal of the agency is to have it so that you, the people who receive services from DVR, understand clearly and without confusion that if you need help from your counselor to fill out the form and to get information, that you can and should feel comfortable asking for that help. Does this come as a surprise to any of you? Say aye. Okay. Well, now you have a chance. If your counselor tells you to fill out a training justification form, that you need to make sure you, if you feel like you want help, if you feel like the form's difficult, you know, it's a 15-page document. And anytime anybody hands me a 15-page document from the government, my first reaction is, do I really have to do this? Well, you kind of do, because it's a tool, right? It's supposed to be a tool that helps you get information, number one, to decide what kind of a career you want, and number two, to figure out where and how you're going to get training to give you the skills that you need to succeed in that particular career. Now, if you're new to being blind, you don't necessarily know what kind of a career you can do, because your family and your friends have already told you that pretty much you're going to sit at home doing nothing. Am I not right about that? And it's the job of the DVR counselors, and some of them do it very well, to say, no, you came to us for help to get training for a career, and this is what you want to do. So all this is more in the nature of commentary, Krista. I'm sorry, I don't really have a question, except I would like to know, based on what I've just said and everything, is can we as consumers, if we have a counselor that says, yeah, just fill it out, and you don't feel comfortable asking for help, can we then go to the counselor and say, but you're supposed to help me fill this form out? Is that within line with what your practice is? Can you please elaborate and also tell people what they can do if, in fact, they're not getting that kind of help? That is my question.
Absolutely. Thank you, Curtis. This is Krista again. Speaking to what Curtis had mentioned, he had reached out to me not too long ago about some concerns with the justification for training, which is this long, lengthy form asking about the career, what type of training is needed, how much does it cost, how much experience do you need to get into the field, very, very detailed. And so he had reached out and said that he had heard some feedback that folks were struggling with this form and they weren't getting the support that they needed. And my response was, well, they should be able to get that support. So I do want to share that prior to Curtis reaching out to me, I haven't had any specific individuals reach out to me with concerns about the justification for training. And I touched base with the supervisor as well, and she hadn't received any direct feedback. But being here today and hearing Curtis just kind of facilitate that conversation and get feedback from folks here in the audience, that was really helpful for me to hear that folks are not getting the message that you are able to work with your counselor to get whatever support you need to be able to successfully complete that. And so a couple things. One, I do want to confirm that yes, it is absolutely appropriate to ask your counselor for support when you need it. If you are not receiving that support, I encourage you to ask for the supervisor's information. You'll also receive this, the supervisor's information, and a bunch of documents that we give you when you first apply for services and in our handbook and so forth. However, you're also able to reach out to me, Krista Hedlund. And again, I recognize not everybody has my direct information. You are more than welcome to ask staff for that information as well. The second thing is that I do think that this brings to light that there is a particular issue with the justification for training, and I believe that this warrants a larger conversation and some brainstorming to figure out how do we specifically address this particular concern. Because just in hearing feedback from folks, I don't believe me going back to the group and saying, hey, this is an issue, and providing a one-time training on it will resolve this long-term. So my suggestion is that we get a group together, and Curtis, I'm more than happy to talk to you offline as well to start facilitating that so we can figure out a solution to this. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Krista. And we certainly appreciate all your hard work and dedication. Next, we're going to have just a couple of words from one of our sponsors, one of our longtime sponsors and friends, Vanda Pharmaceuticals. So please welcome Shauna Jetho.
Hi, everyone. Familiar faces and some friends out there. Great to be here again. I would say it's my 7th annual, but I might be missing one from our pandemic. But yes, I have had the privilege of being able to educate many of you on the very rare disorder NON24, N-O-N-24. Many of you are so familiar with it that you could probably be advocates along with me. So I appreciate you continuing to spread the word. Whether you have trouble with chronic sleep or you may know someone who does. This is a very rare disorder that affects mainly individuals who are totally blind. You can still have some light perception and develop this very rare disorder. The three main symptoms are difficulty falling asleep at night, difficulty getting a full night's sleep, and or difficulty staying awake during the day. You do not have to have all three of these symptoms. And which is unique about NON24 is these symptoms come and go. Very different from our other sleep disorders. So if you would like to learn more, if you have, you know, personal confidential questions, please come and see me over at the exhibit booth. I will be here until 2 o'clock, and unfortunately I have to catch a flight and get back home to the deep south. A little bit warmer weather. there's also my contact information in the agenda. If you're not able to speak with me, you can reach out to me directly. I have spoken at most of the NFB of Colorado chapter groups in the past, but this was probably like a few years even before the pandemic. If you have new members, or you may want to discuss at your next upcoming meeting, if anyone has chronic sleep struggles and would like for me to revisit, I'm more than happy to come back and be a part of your chapter group and provide that education. The reason why I come in every year and continue to increase this awareness is because you may not be struggling with chronic sleep right now, but you might in the future. And when you're struggling with this and it's affecting your day-to-day life, that's when you more so pay attention to it. So still to this day, I'm educating people that I have met years ago. But the company that I work for, Vanda, very, very important to help to continue this relationship with the NFB to give back. We appreciate this opportunity to be able to educate on NON24 because it's so rare. We also understand the importance of contributing and supporting NFB, national, state, and local level. So enjoy the rest of the convention, and if I haven't had a chance to meet you, please come by and say hello. Thank you.
Thank you, Jessica. Thank you. Thank you so much, Shauna, and thank you so much to Vanda for the continued friendship, partnership, and support. We are so appreciative and of all of our sponsors, so we will talk more about our sponsors later, but we are very appreciative. I'm going to bring Mr. Curtis Chong up to introduce our next presenter.
Microphone keeps traveling. In the governor's office of the state of Colorado, there is a thing called the Office of Information Technology. The Office of Information Technology is kind of at the core of a lot of what happens in the executive branch for, you know, computers, information technology, that kind of stuff. And when I first came to Colorado 4 years ago. I almost said 4 long years ago, but the years went by really fast. My first convention here in Colorado, we heard from that office, and we were hearing about the struggles of accessibility for people who are blind who work for the state of Colorado, and also a little bit about how some of the state websites and that kind of thing were not accessible to blind people out in the community. I heard at that time that Colorado was a Google enterprise, which means that as a matter of course in your job working for the state, you get to work with such beautiful products as Google Docs, Google Slides, Google Sheets. And I mean sheets, not the other thing. And Google Drive. And at that time, I took it upon, Scott LaBar and I got onto this Technology Accessibility Advisory Board for the Office of Information Technology, and we talked. I don't know if any guys know me from before, but I have a tendency to raise some pretty tough issues in a nice way, I like to think, about what's not working. And at that time, Google Docs wasn't working very well and whatever. And we didn't even start talking about, you guys remember a year ago, we passed a resolution about Kronos, the state workforce tracking system that's completely not accessible to the blind. So, but it's been 4 years. And this board meets with Google every month, and one little bug at a time, one little feature at a time, we've gotten to the place where Google stuff works a lot better now than it has before. Is it perfect? Probably not, but it's better. The one thing that we have not been able to do is to deal with Kronos. And it's not the fault of the Office of Information Technology. It is the fault of the company called UKG that for decades has been allowed in Colorado to put forth an inaccessible system. You know, you heard last year about the Kronos got hacked or something, and all of a sudden the state people couldn't enter their time and blah, blah, blah. The blind employees were jumping up and down for joy. Why? Because they could fill in their time with Google Sheets, and they thought that was absolutely fabulous. Now, OIT has hired a manager of accessibility now. Her name is Karen Pellegrin. Karen Pellegrin is a person who kicked butt for the city of Denver to get stuff accessible. Give her a hand for this. And it's not just one person from OIT who has come to this convention. We have a bunch of people here. And it gives me great pleasure, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to warmly welcome Karen Pellegrin. I want you to hear what she has to say. Go ahead, clap your hands.
Hi there. Thank you very much. I'm Karen Pellegrin. I am the new, as of January 27th, Senior Program Manager for the Colorado Technology Accessibility Program out of the Office of IT. I'm bubbly, I'm fierce, and I get really mad when things aren't accessible. And I believe in equity, and I believe that everyone should have access to government. So. Also, just as a side note, I am wearing fabulous clothing today if anyone is interested. I have green, pine green velvet cords on, a purple sweater, and this really cool necklace. It's a squid that I got from Singapore from my dad, so I have to brag about it a little bit. I'm here today with two of my team members, Teresa Montano, who helped found the Technology Accessibility Program, and she's sitting over here to my left. Next to Everly. And then I also have back on one of the tables, Chelsea Warren. She came from OIT's testing team. She has a lot of amazing talents. And now she is on our team helping to consult agencies on how to get their products accessible. And that's all digital products. So I'm gonna tell you a little about what we've been doing. A lot. We're storming and forming over the past few months. And if you give me just a second, because I gotta get my notes here real quick. So the first thing we've done is on the TAP team, there was Teresa, and then Lori Kubitz came in as a senior solution engineer. And she and Teresa, they were working together to help the agencies develop accessibility plans. There are six criteria to those plans, and they basically allow the agencies to identify what they have, what they're gonna do, and it covers governance and communications, skills and training, evaluation and how they're going to remediate things, and prioritize things in the sense of, here are all the products that you have. Are you going to fix them? Are you gonna rebuild them? Or are you gonna get rid of them? So we've been helping them to build out these plans, and it's, of course, not perfect, because you can imagine some agencies have 500,000 documents alone. So it really takes a lot of analysis to figure out, okay, how much of this do you need? And respecting transparency of government, how much do you need to fix? And it's a lot of stuff, but they need to get started like yesterday or back in 1999 or maybe 30 plus years ago. But I guess better late than never. So then once I was hired as the manager, I came on in June, and in my first week, I had to hire four more people. So now we're a team of seven. The four additional solutions engineers, their working titles are accessibility consultants. They've been assigned a portfolio. Each of them has been assigned a portfolio to work with 3 to 5 agencies to look at their plans and advise them on how are you going to build governance in your department? How are you going to make sure that everybody knows the importance of accessibility, that everything you build moving forward is accessible, that everything you have out there already is made accessible, and that people can get to the important products and services that help build our government, help build our communities, and help build Colorado. So now I gotta look at my notes. Pardon me for a minute. So as we built the team, which we now have, and we've had them for a few months, we had to build a strategy on how we were going to start meeting with the agencies and helping them. So, like I said, we separated the work into portfolios. So now the consultants have gone and met with, OIT has a number of IT directors. Those IT directors have been working with the agencies to ask for technology, procure technology, whatever they need in terms of technology. And we noticed that there was a gap in communication between what the agencies knew, what the IT directors knew, and what we knew from an accessibility standpoint. So now we're trying to close that gap, make sure that everyone's on the same page. And so, like I said, we go back to the accessibility plans and we do percentages. Okay, how far are you in your skills and training? What are the different roles in your department? And what kind of training do they need? Do they need document training? Well, we know they all need basic training, so that was an easy start. But how are you building these Google documents that Curtis was talking about? And I have a small admission. I came from a Microsoft shop, and I got to the state of Colorado, and I was like, seriously? Google? Oh my goodness. Okay, here we go, because I already knew about some of this. But one of the things that's nice is, the board and Curtis and Teresa, they've been working a lot with Google, and I have to say it's been really impressive to see how many things have been updated and changed to make those things accessible. But now we have to train all of these employees across the state, all these departments, on how to make their sheets, their documents, their slides accessible. And as we do that, we discover more things that we need to make accessible. So it's a growing process. But then back to governance, how do we ensure that they have to take that training? How do we put standards and guidelines in place so that, I don't know if you're familiar with this, but people like to use documents in about a million different ways, and so there's no standardization to help with accessibility, and so we need to have some standards. You know, this is how you lay out a slide or structure a document. And include headings, for dear Lord, include headings. so this is something that we have to work on. But the other things are the evaluation, knowing what every document is, knowing what every application is, going after the vendors when you know those applications and websites and say, hey, you've provided us a product that isn't accessible. We need you to test it. We need you to tell us where it's not accessible, and we need you to fix it. And then we have to look at our own house, too, and do the same thing. So as part of the team and them helping the agencies, we've also decided to spend some of our budget to provide tools, not only tools for employees of the state in Colorado and the public to access government products, but also to give a jump start to the agencies to start remediating things, to fix their documents, to put transcripts on, you know, meetings and whatnot. So we purchased some unlimited software for our employees, and it's JAWS, the latest version of JAWS, Zoom Text and Fusion, and it includes the upgrade. We have unlimited licenses that we're providing to anyone who needs it in the state, in terms of state employees. And then JAWS Inspect, which helps a lot of the agencies who want to test their products for screen reader functionality to ensure it's working correctly. That's a new software that we just got approved for. Common Look is another software that the agencies, in a limited capacity, we didn't get unlimited licenses for some of this, so in limited capacity, we're giving the agencies a jump start to say, let's have you start working on fixing some of these documents. And so Common Look is one of the tools that we're using for PDF documents to try and fix those things. And then Otter AI, like I said, that's the transcription software. We have some limited licenses. And then we use a tool called Site Improve. We're paying for that as well. And that allows the agencies to monitor all of their public-facing websites and check and remediate those websites to ensure that, you know, a lot of, it doesn't cover everything, let's be honest, but it does cover the low-hanging fruit so they can start checking things like, put some image tags on your images, please. You know, please describe your images. And then going back to training our employees on how to put images in and how to make them truly descriptive and meaningful. So there's a lot of efforts going on. We have some other things in the works around software. We have one that we're working on right now called Aira. I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with Aira, yeah? So we are currently finalizing the public release of Aira. It's an unlimited license for all state of Coloradans who go to a public building, a Colorado state building, will be able to, it's geofenced. Wow. So you'll be able to use Aira in those buildings. So we're working on that right now. And then unlimited, the next stage of that, we're hoping that goes through, and the next stage of that will be allowing anybody, any employee in the state of Colorado to use Aira. So we're kind of doing it in a two-phased approach. So yeah, we're doing a lot of software there. We've provided, like I said, a number of tools for our state agencies to fix all of their stuff, essentially. And then we've also been helping with some toolkits and resources and training and advice to local governments because our program really only covers primarily the state of Colorado state agencies, but we do offer advice and resources on a limited level to the local governments because they also have to get in compliance with HB 21-1110, which is the law. So we have resources on that. And then we've had some really interesting things happen recently. We filled out, one of our team members, Kate Miller, had done this in her previous job, and it was called an empathy lab. And this is where we are trying to, and I'm going to read it out for you on this one, because I'm going to fumble it otherwise, so forgive me. So our empathy lab here we go real quick. So as part of OIT's accessibility plan, we wanted to give the agencies and the community awareness of empathy and accessibility. So the lab aims to pair empathy with accessibility and equity to create a space for all to learn and grow in our awareness in order to design, purchase, and implement more inclusive technologies. The goals include creating a partnership between OIT and representatives from historically marginalized communities, from the established community partnerships, form a community advisory board to create a direct feedback loop with Coloradans experiencing barriers to technology, provide demonstrations utilizing assistive technology, and the production of an inclusive design toolkit, and also development of an inclusion, diversity, equity, and accessibility idea dashboard so that we can show the results of what we've done in the lab. And we want to be able to share it with the agencies. So what we've noticed is when you really show the empathy to the agencies, they seem to get it. Otherwise, they get somewhat tangled up in the technology. And they get scared of the technology and, oh, we can't fix it. And we need to tell them the why. This is about the why of why we're doing this. Why are we doing this? Because everybody should have this access. It is absolutely imperative. So that's what we're doing with the Empathy Lab. And then we have, in the Office of IT, we have a number of enterprise applications, one of those bad words that Curtis mentioned earlier called Kronos. I have to say that coming from my previous job at the City and County of Denver, we also had Kronos. So it was kind of funny that I went from the City and County of Denver battling that because the company didn't want to make their products accessible. They downright told us they're not going to do it. And my response was, you're contractually obligated. You have to. So there's the battle. And I came to the state, and it was the same battle. So as part of OIT's accessibility plan, and actually Teresa here is our senior solutions architect, she is working with IT. We all are, but she is the primary contact for that, to address all of the enterprise applications. And that includes things like Kronos and Salesforce and DocuSign. What else do we have here? Google. Yep, Google. What else do we got? We got a bunch of them. I think there's like 15 or 20 major ones. And so ServiceNow. I don't know if y'all have ever heard of that, but that's the one we use internally, and a lot of our employees use it. And they have a timekeeping system that they've now asked us to use, which is not accessible and not fair for our employees who can't use it to have to ask their manager to fill it out on their behalf. It's kind of an insult to their intelligence, so I hate that. Anyway, so we're working on that as well. And so as part of the plan, we're going to meet with the vendors, some of them we've met with already, and address the outstanding accessibility issues. We're gonna have them all manually tested, or the vendor is gonna have them manually tested, because I'm very much into, hey vendor, you provided us a product, you should test that and fix it. So that's pretty much the update of all of the things that we've been doing and are going to continue to do and force the issue, such as, like I said, Kronos. I have been kind of the buzz in a lot of people's ears going, all right, how are we going to fix this? How are we going to make them fix this? And we've got some things in the works. We've got some accommodations, some technology that we're working on to at least temporarily fix it while I run around and harass the vendor and everyone else to say, okay, you want to release new products from this vendor? You have to force them to fix these issues before they release the product, because This has gone on for way too long. Curtis, how long have you said it's been going on for? Decades. See? Decades. Exactly. Totally unacceptable. So I'm going to get angry at them. And hopefully they'll do something about it. So keeping my fingers crossed. Anyway, so that's the Technology Accessibility Program. Very happy to be here. I'm also glad that you're here, Krista. Thank you. So any questions that you have, I'm here and open to answer them.
So we actually do not have time to take questions. Oh. I apologize.
Sorry about that, but come find me.
Thank you so much. so much. We're running just a tiny bit behind, and I want to get everybody, through general sessions and to our next breakouts. But I think we might have some door prizes.
We have a few door prizes. So the first one, this is a plate, an Air Force Academy plate. We're trying to get things from all over the state, as you know. A couple of slices of banana bread from Dula. A gift card from Three Margaritas. And this goes to Kevin Kovacs. Kevin, you gonna stand up so we can find you? All right, the next one is a boulder bag. And this boulder bag has a boulder in it. Has a painted boulder, pretty cool. And $20 cash. And the name is Haley Hecker. Is she in here? Does it count?
Yeah.
Okay, Haley gets this one. Okay. All right. Okay. Okay, so the next one is a bag that has a coffee mug, some hot chocolate, some fresh baked muffins from Miss Pippi, and a gift card. Oh, I don't remember what this gift card is for. Anyway, it's a gift card, sorry. I don't remember what it's for.
Brittany Savage.
And it goes to Brittany Savage. Is she here? Oh, she's virtual. It didn't say virtual on the thing, so that's okay. No worries. We know ways to get it to her, so no problem.
Oh, it does say virtual. I lied.
Okay, where's the next?
Sorry, I didn't.
Okay, so here we have a. Hang on. Is this one virtual?
No.
Okay. Okay, so here we have a container of almond and chocolate biscotti, and it's big. Okay, let's see, what does this say? My hands are cold, so I'm having a hard time reading, guys, I'm sorry. The last name is Kimball. Yes, that's it. Stand up so we can find ya. And we have one more. And this one is a bag of freshly baked pretzel bites from a really cool bakery. Sorry, I don't remember the name. And this one goes to, hang on just a sec. Oops. Oh my gosh, this is like a way long name. Yeah, my hands are cold. I can't read with cold hands. I don't know if you guys have trouble. My hands are freezing, and I cannot read with cold hands. It's really long.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
This is a little tough one.
I don't know the last name. How about it's Kartik. Sorry. Kartik.
Right. Fantastic. Thank you so much to our door prize team. The National Federation of the Blind Scholarship Programs is one of our most important investments. We think that being able to help blind people achieve their dreams is something worth putting our money, mentorship, time, and energy toward. And so we're always very happy to hear from our scholarship winners. And to introduce our 2022 scholarship class today is our scholarship committee co-chair, Mr. Cody Baer.
I study nuclear science. I love my class. Good afternoon, my Federation family. It is my honor and privilege to introduce to you our 2022 NFB of Colorado Scholarship Class. I've had the pleasure of knowing all of these, some of these people for longer, but at the minimum, 6 months, and I can tell you that I've very much enjoyed the time that I got to spend with these individuals in New Orleans, as well as the time that we've met between now and New Orleans, and I think you all are going to enjoy these individuals very much as well. So without much more being said, I'm going to go ahead and introduce them and give them a time to address the convention. Scholarship winners, we are running just a tad behind, so if you could please keep your remarks to a minute and a half, I would super appreciate it. Our first scholarship winner is from Lakewood, Colorado, and she's a senior studying environmental chemistry at the Metropolitan State University of Denver. It's Kara Sclather.
My name is Kara Sclather. I am so proud and excited. There it is. I am. Oops. Sorry, not that tall. My name is Kara Sclather, and I'm so happy to be here with you today. First off, I would like to thank the Scholarship Committee for their time and effort in all of this and their mentorship. It has been absolutely wonderful working with them. And one of the things I would like to say is that the NFB has been a huge help for me. I'm a proud graduate of CCB. I'm an alumni. And starting from CCB on upwards, I have had the privilege of having NFB mentors and friends, and they have helped me with everything from advocacy and support and where I can get the things that I need to be able to pursue my career. And the thread for all of that has been community. And without that community, I would not have been able to succeed to get where I'm going today. And so I'd just like to say thank you, and also thank you to my fellow scholarship recipients. It's been great to bounce ideas off of you guys and learn everything that you guys are doing as well. And yeah, thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, Karis. I should also mention that Karis is our only second-time scholarship winner in this group, so it's definitely a special honor for her. And I mean, at National, they're considered 10 Brook Fellows, so whatever the Colorado equivalent is to that, Karis has achieved. Our next scholarship winner is pursuing a master's in social work at, again, the Metropolitan State University of Denver, working on his prereqs to get into grad school as we speak, and that's Dan, aka the Danicorn Lavinka.
I can just soak that up. You don't have to stop and just do that for all my time. That'd be great. No, thank you to everybody, especially who's like led me to the path that I am. I'm a proud graduate of CCB. Thank you. To the LaBars, Anahit and Kimberly Crouch-Wong for the program that you've put forth. It really gave me the path to understand actually what I want to be when I grow up. Because being a blind person, there was that gap where I had no idea. And the center, the instructors, the students, my friends, my family, thank you. It has given me more purpose than I know what to do with. So thank you.
Thank you, Dan. Our next scholarship winner comes to us from just up the road in Fort Collins and has just transferred to the Colorado State University from Front Range Community College and is studying environmental engineering. It's Robert Lamb.
Hello, NFB of Colorado. Thank you very much for having me, and thank you very much to the scholarship program. Honestly, I wasn't really introduced to the NFB until the scholarship program, and I couldn't be more grateful. At the moment, I'm the interim vice president of the Northern Colorado Fort Collins chapter, and I look forward to just any more leadership roles and ways I can give back to the community humanly possible. Right now, I'm focusing on STEM, and having this opportunity to give back to my community is incredible. And just thank you all for the peer, for the support and wisdom. I don't know how I would have made it through this transfer to CSU without the advice I got at the National Convention. So thank you all again.
And then last but certainly not least, our final scholarship winner for 2022 comes to us from Littleton, Colorado, and is studying business administration with an emphasis in nonprofit organizations at Southern New Hampshire University, and also works for our Colorado Center for the Blind, and who I'm sure many of you know, Deshaun Spears.
Sorry, I just want to thank the scholarship committee. I've been in the NFB since 26 years now, and when I thought about going back to school, it was my friends and family that kind of drew me that way. I knew I wanted to go back to school at some point, and now that my wife Jennifer just finished in the summer graduating, gave me a chance to go out there and do what I want to do. At some point, I do want to work or own my own nonprofit organization, and the NFB is giving me that option to do that. And I just love all you guys as a family, and once again, thank the scholarship committee. Thank you.
Awesome, everybody, and that concludes the introduction of our 2022 scholarship class. I hope that this weekend many of you will say hi to them in the hallways, make them feel loved and welcomed into the Federation, as you did for me when I was a scholarship winner in 2011 and 2012, and look forward to hearing from them again at our banquet tomorrow evening. Thank you.
All right, door prize, ladies. Can we get a door prize? While I will also just take this opportunity to say that, if you like the work that we are able to do with our scholarship programs and with our Bell programs and the potential idea of having a new STEM program here that Everly was speaking of and all the really cool things that we're able to do, just think about reaching in your pockets a little bit deeper when we auction those items, buying a few more raffle tickets, and all the stuff that we can do to support the fundraising of the National Federation of the Blind of Colorado. Do we have a door prize?
Yes, we have a very large bag of M&Ms. And this goes to Matthew Smith.
Matthew, are you here? All right. Oh, he's in the vendor room, so that's fine. Yep,
okay,
absolutely.
We'll get it to him, no problem.
Fantastic. Thank you, ladies. It is my pleasure to introduce, so that we can welcome her very enthusiastically and get to know her a little bit better, the new director of the Colorado Talking Book Library, Miss Nicole Steffen.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
You're a crowd that's awake and alive, man. This is cool. Usually the after lunch slot means everybody's kind of sleepy. You guys don't seem sleepy.
No way.
No.
We've been drinking the coffee.
Oh, good. Okay. Can I, by a show of clapping, hear from all of the patrons, our current patrons? That's great. There's a lot of you here. That's good news. I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me today. It's a pleasure. And thank you, Jessica, for inviting me. As Jessica said, I'm Nicole Steffen. I'm the director of the Colorado Talking Book Library, and I've been the director for about 10 months now. I've been at the library for nearly 7 years, and I've been at the state library for almost 22 years. But a little bit more about that later. I'm excited to be here to learn more about NFB and what you all do, and to update y'all on what's going on at the Colorado Talking Book Library, also known as CTBL, which I think most of you know. First, I'd like to talk about what's new at the library. We've got some really exciting news this morning that I'd like to share, but I'm going to hold that off for just a minute. I'd also like to talk about what's been going on at the library and what we are looking forward to in the next few months. Lastly, Jessica asked me to talk a bit about my journey to CTBL and why I work there. But first, I'd like to lead with the headline. Here's the headline. Colorado finally has Braille e-readers. Yeah, that deserves a round of applause. We did the same thing when we found out we were getting them at the library, too. Yesterday, CTPL shipped out the first batch of HumanWare Braille e-readers to patrons. Yeah. The first machines were mailed to patrons who were on the waiting list. These are patrons who expressed an interest in receiving an e-reader as soon as Colorado had them. And as the saying goes, they're in the mail. Our next step is to contact the rest of the patrons who read Braille to gauge their interest and to get an e-reader sent out to them as well. The library has been a hive of activity for the past 3 weeks as staff geared up to send out the machines. They've been doing everything from updating the machines to learning how to troubleshoot potential problems. Tamara Rory at NLS has been doing online training with library staff, helping everyone get up to speed on the HumanWare e-readers. HumanWare is the manufacturer that we got. You guys probably know that more than we do. It's been a learning curve for everyone, myself included, but CTBL staff are committed to making the e-reader launch a success. And I have to say, the excitement at the library is palpable. It's really exciting. So, in other news, very briefly, we are seeing more foreign language titles circulate because of the adoption of the Marrakesh Treaty, which gives NLS access to more titles from other countries and, of course, more languages. It's still an evolving process as to how to make those accessible to everyone, but it's very encouraging. Once again, this January, CTBL will be partnering with the Denver Public Library to offer the Winter of Reading. This is an adult reading challenge. There are two prizes up for grabs this year, a limited edition carabiner mug and a sturdy canvas tote bag. Let us know if you'd like to participate in the Winter of Reading. Participation is through CTBL, so it's available to everybody in the state, even though we're going through Denver Public. They're offering it to every CTBL patron. So it should be easy peasy. Also, there will be more information in the next newsletter if you're interested in participating. This summer, CTBL will be participating in the NLS Summer Reading Program. This is something new and different from NLS, and we're excited to see what NLS and Network Libraries put together. We understand it will be an all-ages program, but no details have been nailed down yet. Look for more information in the newsletter and on the CTBL website about this particular program. And as I said, it's all ages. This year, CTBL has returned to many of the outreach activities that we've done in the past, including some in-person events. People have gotten used to the convenience of attending information sessions and training from the comfort of their own computer, or the couch, as the case may be. Going virtual has also increased our ability to communicate effectively with people and institutions outside of the Denver metro area, which is important because we serve the entire state. CTBL is now a distributor of the currency readers, We announced this in the CTBL newsletter, but in case you missed it, CTBL is distributing the currency readers directly from the library. These are the small handheld devices made by the Bureau of Engraving and Printing to read U.S. currency. CTBL patrons can contact the library and will submit the application for you and get one sent out to you then and there, done and dusted. If you're not a library patron, you can contact the Bureau of Labor of Engraving and Printing directly. And you can talk to me about becoming a patron. Some of you may have seen that Colorado's Beatball Group won the 7 Everyday Hero Award for their work supplying equipment to the beatball teams across the country and around the world. CTBL is involved because the Beatball Volunteer Group uses our workroom every Friday to make beatballs for the game. It was great to see this group of dedicated volunteers be honored, and it was an opportunity for people outside of the blind and visually disabled community to learn more about the game of beatball. It aired on Channel 7 4 or 5 times a couple weekends ago. Lastly, I want to brag a bit about CTBL staff. It's a small group of dedicated librarians, other professionals, and support staff who are hardworking, dedicated individuals, who are smart, they're funny, and they're just good people. It really is a pleasure to work with them. I joined the CTBL team almost 7 years ago because I believed in the mission of the library. I wanted to directly contribute to the team that served the blind and print disabled in Colorado. Before coming to CTBL, I was the director of the Library Research Service, a division of the state library. My unit collected data for and about libraries across the state and across the country. During my time at the research service, we did biennial patron surveys for CTBL. Debbie and I worked on those together. I must have done 6 surveys for CTBL and learned a lot about the library and the services it offered. So, after 15 years of doing library research, I jumped ship and I joined the crew at CTBL as a technical services librarian. I knew I would enjoy library service to CTBL patrons because I saw how positively the library services affected my mother's life. She was an avid reader who suffered from macular degeneration. CTBL enabled her to continue to read for the rest of her life. She had a passion for literature as well as nonfiction, and CTBL was a lifeline for her. I also knew that CTBL reaches patrons in every corner of the state. Did you know that Colorado is the 8th largest state in the union? And that CTBL serves patrons in every single one of the state's 64 counties. Woo-hoo. Woohoo! Yeah, get some woohoo. That's a data point that always resonated with me, seems to resonate for you, some of you too, and as a data geek and a librarian, it always stuck with me. If it sounds like I'm proud of the library, I am, and I was most proud to be a member of the CTBL team when we managed to not miss a day of service during the COVID lockdown.
Yeah. Woo-hoo-hoo.
And I have to say, my predecessor, Debbie McLeod, gets a lot of credit for that. Unlike some of the other state agencies and some of the talking book libraries around the country, CTBL was able to provide uninterrupted service to patrons throughout the worst of the days of the pandemic. I was also impressed with our patrons who were patient with us, the U.S. Mail, and NLS, as we navigated the challenges of life and library service during a pandemic. For me, it was an inspiring and humbling experience that I will always remember. So I've covered a lot of information this morning, a lot of territory. If you have any questions, I encourage you to contact the library. Give us a call. We'll try to help. We've got RAs on staff to help you at all times. Whether it's about a Braille e-reader, a currency reader, or whatever it is you want to read next, give us a call. We're happy to help. Thank you for inviting me here today, and I hope everyone has an interesting and fun conference.
Cover is not the work, so open it up and take a look. Because under the covers, one discovers that the king may be a crook. Chapter titles are like signs, and if you read between the lines, you'll find your first impression was mistook. For a cover is nice, but a cover is not the book.
Let's give Nicole one more round of applause. Thank you so much. All right. Next, we're going to have a few words from Spectrum, one of our dear friends, graduate from the Colorado Center for the Blind, Peter Kucherave. Now, while Peter's making his way to the front, I'm just going to also mention that Peter was a student when I first started working for the NFB of Colorado, and he gave me my first tour of the Colorado Center for the Blind. So. Door prize folks, be getting ready with a couple of those, and then after Peter, we're going to have some auction items before we break for our afternoon sessions. And just a point of housekeeping, there will be coffee in the back of the room in here beginning at 8:30 tomorrow.
Good afternoon. That was a fun song choice. Nice surprise. Hi, everyone. It's such a pleasure to be here, especially since this is, I think, like my 15th or 16th conference this year, and I think it's my last one, so I get to end it with a cherry on top because you guys are my favorite folks, it turns out. It's good to be back home, and good to be with a lot of my wonderful friends here from Colorado. So some of you might be wondering, well, Spectrum, that doesn't seem to be in my area. I don't have Spectrum services, and you're right. Unless you're in Grand Junction, you probably don't have Spectrum services available to you. But there's a couple of things that I do want to share, and I hope that it can be fruitful for some of you to hear this today. The first thing that I want to share is something that's really important, has always been very important to me, which is employment. It's always worth mentioning when there's some great jobs available to folks and we're looking for people with disabilities and particularly those who are blind. And so that's something that is available here in Colorado. The Spectrum offices are down in the Denver Tech Center, and you'll be surprised just how difficult it is to fill some of these jobs, you guys. So, especially for those of you who are young and considering a field, maybe in the technology space, I want to encourage you to look at the video technology areas and the accessibility in that area, because we are struggling to find good talent, blind or otherwise, to fill those positions. So if there's, and if Krista's still here, or anyone else from the state who's familiar with the kind of talent that we're looking for, I'd love to build that pipeline and get some of those jobs filled with people that are native assistive technology users and are passionate and excited about accessibility in the video space. So with that being said, there's always other opportunities that become available, like web accessibility expertise and mobile accessibility development as well. So I want to make myself available and want to make sure that we have an open door for anybody who knows folks with that kind of talent, or you yourself are interested. I want you to find me. Love to have that conversation. The second thing that I want to talk about is something called Spectrum Access. How many of you have heard of Spectrum Access? Oh, that makes my heart smile. So Spectrum Access is a very important project to me, and something that I see a really bright future for. There's a lot of paver stones that need to be laid along the way to get to that destination, but we're also in a great place right now for those of you who enjoy audio description to be utilizing the app with any platform of your choosing. And by the way, it is free, and not free like deal with ads kind of free. It's truly free. It's a passion project for us that we were really excited to embark on. I don't know if I've ever shared the story about Spectrum Access and how it came about. When I first, probably within my first couple of years of working with Charter, I had a group of employees that invited me to something called May the 4th Be With You Party. You guys familiar with those? Yeah, I was never a Star Wars guy and will confess that I just had no idea what the excitement around the whole thing was. And so it was very easy for me to say no, especially since I said, unless you have audio description, I just don't see the value in me showing up. And so for the next several months, we were having so much conversation around what could we do to make Star Wars more accessible. Maybe we could write the audio description ourselves. And anyway, it ended up rolling into this massive thing where we decided that we could potentially become the example for what it means to provide more audio description and more flexibility around how audio description is consumed. And eventually we embarked on this journey to create an app that was going to deliver audio description in a novel way. We found a guy named Alex who was running a project called ActiveView at the time, and ended up purchasing the software that he had that he was using to run the app, and rebranded it and completely redesigned the app to be Spectrum Access. Now what the app does is it provides audio description and closed captioning, which are now open captions, in the app for absolutely free. The track will run on your device and it will sync with what you're watching on TV. So let's say, for instance, you're binging LA's Finest on Netflix. You pull it up in your app and download the track on your phone. When you're watching that show, you hit sync. It'll synchronize with what you're watching and then it'll begin playback on your device. So the unique factor here is that the description is coming through on a separate device from the primary audio of the show, which means that you can plug in an AirPod, like the one that I just pulled out of my ear to focus a little better, and be the only one in the room that hears audio description, which is important for some people. Now, if you're somebody who uses hearing aids, for instance, you could select an option called audio description with full audio, which will give you the sound of the audio description track and the sound of the movie or show that you're watching in the same device, on your device that is, and be able to tweak the specifications to your preferences, how you want to hear them, which is really incredible. And this inspired me to start thinking about what we could do for the deafblind community in entertainment. Think about this for a moment if you haven't already. The deafblind community has been traditionally really left out of entertainment altogether. Unless you can get captions and audio description pulled into the same thread, there's not really a way to enjoy that entertainment at all. But until we get to that point, which is a point I would love to get to, and I'm looking forward to partnering with a couple of deafblind organizations next year to discuss this and see how we can really build this app out to solve problems for not just folks who are deaf or folks who are blind, but those who are sort of straddle that space in between as well. But in the meantime, for those who have maybe varying degrees of hearing impairments or vision impairments, we've been able to implement some additional features like opening the captions so that as they enlarge the captions or change the contrasting and fonts and such on them, they can consume the captions at their own pace and be able to scroll backwards through the captions and back to the current place without losing their spot in the movie like you would with closed captions. In addition to that, we've been able to launch this year support for Braille displays. So you can read the captions through the Braille display on both iOS and Android. Yeah, I am so excited about this. I mean, anytime you're solving real problems for people with disabilities, that's what gets me perked up. And so I'm very fortunate to be leading this project, and I'm always open to new ideas. So if you have those suggestions, I'm all ears. And one of the other spaces that we're looking to get into, because now that movie theaters are opening back up, before the pandemic started, I had a stack of movie tickets like many of you from showing up to movie theaters and the devices not working the way I needed them to work. So I want this app to be a solution that we can also utilize in movie theaters, and I'm trying to work with these executives in those spaces to build that functionality. Well, the functionality is there, we just need the content. So that's our probably biggest struggle right now, is convincing programmers and studios to hand over content and demonstrate the value. So if you want to help us demonstrate the value, download this absolutely free app called Spectrum Access and hit me up with a 5-star so we can make the case that there are a lot of people that have expectations from this app to be your inclusive entertainment solution. All right, that's me. Thank you so much. See you around later.
All right. Don't get too lost in the music yet. We're going to do a few auction items, and we're going to scatter some door prizes in, so don't leave your seat.
Over here. Most dangerous place in the room between Scott LaBar and a microphone. Ba-dum-bum. Okay, so let's do this. We have a few auction items here. Dot Shop Braille Christmas Bundle is what we have next. This is cute. This is so cute. It includes Christmas ornament, which has Braille on it. It has a wonderful tumbler, and I have some of the tumblers that say Worley Enterprises. It's a wonderful tumbler for your hot and cold beverages, and it reads in Braille, "Not Before My Coffee," and NFB Newsline, and that's in Braille. This is from the Dot Shop. That's Rosina Coleman Foster's company. She's out of Missouri, and I would encourage you to check this out. Oh, it also has Jessica. Oh, Diane McJor. Someone should buy this for Diane. It's a cute, soft bunny wearing an NFB Braille T-shirt.
Wow.
And it's a $70 value, and I'll start the bidding at $50. Who wants to start at 50? Come on. Renee, I heard 50 from Renee. Jody, 60. 60 going once, twice. Sold to Jody. Thank you. Door prize. You've got that, Gary? Gary? Okay. All right, door prize, you guys.
All right, so we have, excuse me, a bag from our new NOCO chapter. It's CSU, I believe it's a hoodie, and a really cool mug or hot cup thing. And it goes to Ernesto Luca. Stand up so we can find you.
Okay, touch the flower. Kevin Kovacs is around here with a beautiful necklace. He's not wearing it. But it is, well, maybe he could be. I don't know. It's a $70 value. It is a beautiful necklace that has kind of a pewter encasing on the ornament at the end. I'm not good at describing necklaces. What color, Kev?
The pewter is like a dark gray, and it's got a blue flower on top. It's kind of, if they're okay, you can kind of see through them.
What's
a
gemstone?
It's called a gemstone?
It's from the Good Eye, which is a vintage shopping down Colorado Springs. Yes. Okay, blue. Oh, Everly wants to. Oh, what? Touch the flower, and it is a $70 value, and it is a. Just trust me. Somebody's going to love this on your Christmas list. That's a $70 value. We'll start the bid at $25. Anyone? Who's that? Oh, Marini, thank you. It's $25 going once. 30 Eliza, 35 over here to my right. Who is that? 35 Marine. 40 Burke. 40 Burke. Someone said earlier, Dan, somebody won a door prize. I can't pronounce the last name. I'm thinking, hope it's not Burke. It's not any. All right, where are we at the bidding here? 40 Burke. 45 Mitchell. Pinto, I'm sorry. You know, I'm getting old up here, y'all. So 50 Burke. $70 value, beautiful. Going once to Burke. 50 Burke twice. Sold to Dan and Julie. Door prize.
Okay, door prize. First of all, is Ernesto in the room? Was Ernesto in the room for the last one? Oh, no. Okay, we got to draw another name for that. In the meantime, we have, it's a virtual, and hopefully she's on. And it's two gift cards, one's for Mary's Mountain Cookies, which are amazing, and for Texas Roadhouse, and it's Anahit LaBar. Is she listening?
She's probably online.
Do we have her Zoom phone?
Is she on?
Zoom folks, do we know if she's on?
I'm checking right now.
Thank
okay.
you, Paul.
Well, we'll go with another one while they find her. The next one is from the NOCO chapter, or it might be from Penn, I'm not sure. It's a really cool looking, it's really nice, winter jacket for a woman, and it's pink, and it just so happens that we chose a woman, and this person's name is Michelle Chacon.
Michelle? Did you guys get Michelle? She's not here. Oh, she is? Oh, she's on Zoom. Okay. Michelle Chacon, are you here? Okay. We got her. Do we know about Anahit?
Anahit was not there.
Was not there. So draw again for the Anahit, and then we're going to tech it up with the next prize or auction item. Well, it is a prize because Tech It Up is next, donated by Paul Sandoval.
Okay, how about for the gift cards, Lydia? Is she in here? Yep, okay, there we go. All right.
Okay, auction, guys, this is a great prize. Tech It Up is donated by our own Paul Sandoval with Blind Tech Training. He's worked with me and he still survived. 2 hours of training, it's a value of $160. Who will start the bidding? 40? Blind Tech Training, Paul Sandoval. 40 to Amy from Missouri, Amy Wilson. I got a $40 bid. Who'll give me 50? I heard 50 from Deedon. 50 from Deedon. 60 Trina. 60. This is a heck of a deal. You're going to get $100. 70 Amy, Missouri. 80 Trina. I'm here, 90. Who's got 90? Oh, that means you're going to get this like half priced. Yes! Yes! 80 going once. 90 from Teresa. Okay, 90 Teresa. Oh, 100. Wait, that didn't sound like Michelle's voice, but maybe it was. 100 Michelle. Going once, twice. 110, Teresa. Can I have 120, 120, 120, anybody 120? 120, Trina or Michelle? 120, Trina, 120, Trina, 120. Going once. 125, Michelle, 125, Michelle. Who'll give me 130, 130 to Paul Sandoval's training? 130, Teresa, 130, Teresa. Let's make some money for those blind kiddos. They need their braille. 130, Teresa, going once, twice. Sold. Now we're going to do a door prize, but let me just say.
All right, so we have a Tupperware soup warmer bowl thing that's really awesome, and there's other things inside it as well. And it goes to Jeanette. Are you here?
Yay!
Who? Is she here? Jeanette Fortin? Fortin.
Might be online.
Oh, is she not here? Jeanette Fortin. From Colorado Springs. Okay, here you go.
Did you get it, Gary? Okay. All right, the next item, this is great. This is the sound of awesomeness. Donated by Colorado Springs chapter, speaking of our president, Jeanette Fortin. This is a Sony Headphones WH-1000XM5. And it's the noise canceling, but you can still hear stuff around you. It is the coolest thing ever. It is a $299 value from Best Buy, and we'll start the bidding at least $100. It's a noise canceling Sony. I have one, they're outstanding. I heard 100, who is that? Maureen, 100. Do I have 110? Beecham, 110. Maureen, 120. Sandoval, 125. 130, Maureen. Well, who is that? Oscar? 180, right? Okay, 180 Oscar. I don't know who you are, but I hope you have 180 bucks. Oh, it is. Oh, Chancey's husband. Okay. Sorry, Oscar. 180. Do I hear 185? 185. This is a $299 value. You'll be glad if you buy this. 200 deed-in. 200 deed-in. Oscar, what you got, man? What you got, Oscar? I have a 200. I'm looking for 210. 240? Is that right, 240, guys? Okay, sorry. Okay, 240 going once. 250, Kovacs. 250, Kovacs. I thought you already had one of these. He wants another one.
He doesn't have Sony ones.
Oh, he wants the Sony one. Oh, well. 250, Kovacs going once. 260? I heard 260.
Nah, you
260 once. Kovacs says 270. 270. I mean, it is for the little blind kids, you guys. Yeah. All right. 280 from back there at Oscar. Although, 280, it's his. Kovacs says it's yours. Going once, twice, sold! Oscar's last name. Yeah. Hey, Oscar, what's your last name for our guy here?
Here you go, Renee.
Ronson. Oscar Ronson.
Huh?
Okay, Kevin, work with Gary and get that for us. Thank you.
Okay, another door prize. We have some more banana bread from Dula and gift card to Village Inn, and this goes to Penn Street.
Auction team, I need another item if you can. I don't know which one we're doing next. We will have a lot more auction items tonight. Big auction items.
People are wanting to see the chest on display too.
Oh, we'll get the chest. We'll have. Yeah, it's not here yet. The treasure chest will be on display as soon as Zachary gets here. We'll get that out. Do I have another one, Gary? Was it? Ooh, Pippi has done these. Pippi Adams, National Association of Blind Merchants, Colorado Merchants. She's done this amazing tray of mini pumpkin breads. Pippi, what else do you have in there? Well, she might be doing child care.
Pumpkin bread, zucchini bread, carrot cake bread, banana muffins.
Yeah. And I don't know what value we put on it. Do you recall, Pippi? We put 70, but I'm sure it's much more than that. So what I'd like to do is start the bidding at 50 for this. I bought this package last year. I'm still eating bread. No, I'm kidding. But I did freeze some of it, and so I ate it in July. But it's amazing. And she just baked it like, I don't know, yesterday or the day before. All right, we're starting at 50. Do I hear 50?
Renee.
Renee, 50. Thank you. Do I hear 60? Sandy, $60. Take it back to Pueblo. $60. Do I hear 70?
Renee,
70. The door prize, people are in a bidding war. $70 for, do I hear 80?
Ryan,
80. Thank you, Ryan. Ryan, good. You'll be treating all kinds of people. $80 going once. It's worth 90. Got a 90, got a 90. I want 100. Can we sell this for 100? If we can sell it for 100, I'll let it go. No, I won't. I always say that and I never do. $100. Who's going to bid 100? 100 Sandy. Anybody want to go higher than 100? I got 100. 100 doing once. I cannot believe you guys are not bidding more for this extraordinary.
It's so good.
I mean, it is so good. And also, we'd like to get more kids some Braille. But if you guys don't care about the little blind children, then that's so. Yeah. 100 going once. Who did? Diane said 110. See, because Diane cares. $110 going once. twice, three times, and it is sold to Diane. Is that all we have, guys? This session?
It's time, yes. So
we're or time,
go
okay.
Breakout session.
Breakout. Thank you all. See you tonight. So if you're facing the podium, if you're facing me, you're going to go to my left. And Gary, where are you where they can pay for their items? There you go. All right. Here's our president.
Enjoy your afternoon breakouts, and this first session of general sessions is adjourned.